Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Hooked on Hitchcock. I'm your host, Jonathan Biddy. I've got my co-host here, G. Larry Butler. How you doing, G? Or Larry?
Oh, hey, I'm here. Glad to see you again.
Glad to see you as well. And we've got a special guest who I don't think you've been on Hooked on Hitchcock before.
Not, I haven't.
But we got Liz Fletcher here. How you doing, Liz?
I'm doing good. How are you today, Jonathan? Hi,
Good.
Larry. Hi, Liz. Welcome aboard.
Yes.
Thank you.
So yeah, Liz has been on the Horror Film Lovers, a bunch of the different ones, 90s horror films, and Hooked on Hitchcock's just one she hasn't done yet, but now she's her first time here, and we're really excited to have her here. So I picked this movie, and here's the thing. This is a movie that by not many people even know about for Hitchcock. Like, even my own parents never heard of this movie before, you
For a
know.
reason.
Yeah, we can talk about that. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of dug it at times, you know. There was things I didn't like, obviously, and it wasn't a very well received movie, you know. Did not do very
Yeah.
well in the box office and kind of went away. And even from what I read, Hitchcock was bored during the making of
Yeah.
the movie, and I think it's just because he was tired of being controlled by David O.
Yes.
Selznick, and he was so happy to like be free of him after this, you know. And Selznick, basically, they had a what was interesting. I read this on the there's a Hitchcock Truffaut. They had a writer that they were flying in from, I want to say it was England, and they were flying him in from England to write. And when he didn't get picked up from the airport at the right time, he just turned back around, went back to England. And
Oh
then
my God.
he sent pages in to Selznick, and Selznick was not happy, so they got rid of that guy. And then they hired, basically Selznick decided to do it himself, mainly for money, and he would send it in during the day of the production. That would,
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
Oh
but that would
my
like
God.
frazzle me to death. Like, as a director, I
Well,
would not like to do that.
at the end of this movie, they disassociated with each other. He
Yeah.
never worked with him again.
I don't
7
blame him.
years. Yeah, so I don't know who's at fault, but I think Hitchcock was a very difficult person to associate with. And a lot of people were saying that, but he was just impossible. So he was too
Well,
exacting.
I do see though where even in today's culture with films and TV shows, things that start off really well when the producers or whoever's funding the film starts to gain too much control over the whole creative process solely for money. I think that's when certain films and certain works of people kind of start to go downhill, and you can see that.
I agree.
That was my political bit that I was telling
Oh, that was the political bit. Okay. I thought it
Well,
was gonna
yeah,
be
you know
like
the politics of Hollywood, and you know,
Yeah,
if
right.
people are
Oh,
going to be given all their money towards a project, they want to have some say, but I think a lot of times it becomes the end all be all when it comes to creative decisions.
Right. That's the bottom line anyway. It's all about the money.
Well,
So
in any business too. I mean, I can
yeah.
tell you that from nursing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I understand totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, there just wasn't balance for me. I could see where this could, and it was, I did enjoy it. It was very interesting. I think the acting was still superb. But at the same time, it just kind of missed the mark with the whole storyline. I didn't believe that Gregory Peck's character was truly in love with this woman, or
so
even that
quickly.
he was that attracted to her. There just wasn't a lot of chemistry. And so it was hard to believe that he would risk everything, his whole career, his beautiful wife, who's amazing, and they've had this beautiful marriage. Like, just for this woman, like I expected there to be like some electricity between them, and I didn't feel it.
Larry, you look like you
Well,
want to say something with your notes.
I do. I'm trying to find my note. I take
Of
notes,
course,
Liz.
I'm a woman too, so
But
maybe for guys it was different.
yeah, I do. I wrote something down because I found out I do some research on the side of all these movies. His wife forgave him at the end of the movie for his mental infidelity. So that explains it. He was intrigued by this woman. I don't know if he was in lust with her, but he found her fascinating because she was mysterious. And he may have, bottom of his heart thought she might be guilty, but then he became jealous because of Andre the valet, and found out they were having an affair, and he wanted to pin it all on him to,
Well, to take off from her, like
yeah.
everything.
He wanted to find her innocent, even though she was guilty. But I don't know. It was a little bit. I found it interesting because we saw Spellbound. Remember, and talked about that. Okay, Jimmy Stewart. It's the same situation. He was
I think it
possessed.
was, no, it was Gregory Peck was in Spellbound. Same
He was
actor.
a. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, then it was another one.
It was Vertigo that had Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, that's right. So he does, the Hitchcock works in this way. He finds obsession fascinating. And so, there's several movies that have the same theme. And I think this was another one. But
Spellbound and Vertigo and this. I mean, that's almost like a trilogy of obsession,
yeah, I don't know how many more had the same type of theme, but
Well, I guess we'll
anyway.
find out if we keep
Yeah,
when we keep watching
we
these
do.
movies.
Yeah, so this was definitely within that realm. And I found it fascinating at times and tedious at other times, but it went in and out. But it was a courtroom drama, and not that much action, but implied action, basically. There was no chase or fighting or anything like that, but other than vocally.
There's
But
no real suspense either. And that's sort of what kind of, disappointed me with this movie was a drama, not really like his typical suspense. And I feel like if there was more suspense in it, like if maybe Hitchcock was allowed to come up with a reason, like maybe because we hear that Andre, and spoiler alert, but we're gonna be spoiling the whole movie, so get ready, but that Andre's killed himself, if there was something where he could have stopped it, before that happened, but then, because his guilt for it, or whatever, all that stuff didn't really resonate with me at first, because he still felt like, oh, well, th him killing himself makes him look like he, right? Like, I'm still gonna pin it on that guy for a second until the girl says, leave me alone, basically. You've ruined everybody's life enough, and so I don't know. I felt like this just didn't feel as Hitchcocky as his normal movies do. And there were some great shots. There was some great, like, all the camera work and all that stuff was amazing. But aside from that, like, all the rest, it just didn't feel like a Hitchcock movie. Liz, have you seen a lot of Hitchcock films yourself?
Nope, this is my first one, actually.
Period?
What? Whoa.
So you never even
Okay.
seen, like, Psycho?
Uh-uh.
Oh my
The
God. I'm surprised.
Wow.
I've been living under a rock, guys. My mom wouldn't even let me watch Power Rangers growing up.
Oh my God.
I mean,
Wow, that's
that is a
pretty cool.
little
But I'm making
violent, I
up for
can.
it. Jonathan's helping me navigate the film world that I have not yet wandered into.
That's what we do here at Indie Film Cafe. We
The
educate
good, the
people.
bad, and the ugly.
Sometimes it is ugly. And even Larry's been on a couple of those episodes where we're like, oh my God, what are we watching here? But most of the time, whatever, stuff like this. And this was actually created for Larry because Larry was sick and tired of watching bad movies. Paul would get him these
Oh, come
movies that,
on, Larry, they're fun.
well,
What
Paul
about the
went
Reptoids?
here. Here's the thing. Liz, Larry was on a show that Paul created called Little Stinkers that he did with his daughter, Bonnie. His daughter was 14 at the time, I think, right? 14?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so she's like
Well,
17
I
now or
probably
whatever,
regret
but
from that.
she's like 14, almost 15 at the time. And she was stuck watching these really crappy kid movies and stuff with Larry, and they really, I don't think they enjoyed it whatsoever. It was almost
Well,
like,
there's no redeeming social value in any of it. It was just that it sucked, plain and
yeah.
simple.
And
And plus,
now,
they were made by directors who had dubious sidelines. Like one guy was a porn producer, and he did this on the side. He did porn and he did kid movies. It's
there's a
like
lot of that
everything
actually. There's a
outweighed it.
lot of people who do those like kind of different stuff. Even some people go to Lifetime that did that stuff too. So anyway, point is that now Paul wants to try to get you and your daughter Liz to do that at some point. Be season two of Little
Oh my
Stinkers.
gosh, yes.
I don't think she'll
See?
enjoy it.
He, what?
Just she won't like it. But anyway, whatever. I don't want to influence you, but go for it.
Go
You know,
for it.
carry
She'll.
on.
I don't
My
know.
daughter.
My daughter's pretty unique. I mean, I don't know where she gets it from, but we're very creative people, and we can find the good in a lot of things that people don't like. So.
Oh, really? Well, good luck. I dare you to find something good in these movies. That none of them were any good. Well, some were less bad than others, but anyway,
I will let Paul know.
I'm gonna try to find a bad one that you're gonna like, Larry.
Okay.
Jonathan and I
Like.
will. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, well, we'll go back to the parodying case, but I just wanted to put that up because Paul's been going on about that and was like, maybe Liz will do it because Larry won't do it anymore. And I was like,
Well, my daughter won't do it, so
yeah, Bonnie won't do it
aww.
really.
She
And
refuses. She's going to be 18, and you know, she's emancipated now, so I have no control over
oh,
her. But
dang.
anyway, it's okay. No, I wanted to fly to this, so
Bribery works really good, I think, sometimes. I
yeah.
don't know. I've never tried it, but
Yeah, I'm out of carrots. I have to stock up on some more. But anyway, we'll see. But good luck, you know.
popsicles work well.
Yeah, I what?
I said popsicles work well.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, she's addicted to sugar, so that'll probably work. So anyway, but it's you ought to try it. It sounds like an interesting change of command.
Yeah, well, it'd be more fun to see, like, because it was a father and a daughter. Now it's going to be a mother and a daughter. So
Right.
I think
Okay.
that's going to be even interesting too. So a couple things I got from IMDb. Now, apparently, Hitchcock had wanted Laurence Olivier or Ronald Colman for
Yeah.
Anthony Quinn, and Greta Garbo as Miss Paradine, and Robert
Yeah.
Newton and William Marsh as the role that became Andre Latour. First of all, Laurence Olivier turned it down, which turning down a
Ooh.
Hitchcock movie, period, is usually a bad
Yeah.
sign because, like, Hitchcock was sort of like, there's another director named what is it? William Wyler.
Oh, yeah.
And William Wyler did like Ben-Hur and did tons of different great movies, Miss
Yeah.
Miniver and stuff like that. And then what is it? And then, and people never turned down, even though he treated people just worse than Hitchcock. He was notorious for like taking millions and millions of takes, and then the person would cry and say, how many more do you want from me? And he would go, until it's good. He was an asshole. But people wanted to work with William Wyler because he made movies that won Academy Awards. Like, you always knew that you were gonna go up for an Academy. It's kind of like Steven Spielberg, except he doesn't treat his people like you can't do what they did back in the 30s and 40s anymore,
Yeah.
but it would be like turning down Spielberg right now, or somebody big like that. You don't want to turn them down because even if you think the movie would suck, you don't want to turn them down. Well, if you do turn them down, it's because the script is terrible. Now, you can always actors can usually nowadays, I don't know how it was back then, could usually come in and say, okay, I don't like this script. We need it fixed, or whatever, because this is going to make me look bad and stuff. Back then, I don't think they had any, the actor didn't have as much control. So they come in, say their lines, go. Nowadays, you've got like Tom Cruise or, I'm blanking, Leonardo DiCaprio, who are basically making movies that they're producing, so they're producing films as well as acting in them. And things like that. So they've got a lot more control. And even if you're a star, you have a lot more, like, people will fire a director before they fire a star, these days still. Unless it's like Tarantino, which I don't think they can fire him, or whatever.
Who would ever want to?
I don't know, there's people out there that, whatever. But like, if
Oh,
you sign
yeah.
up to work with Tarantino, you probably know what you're getting,
There's a lot of haters out there that
Yeah.
hate him.
There's people that hate Tarantino for some, like, 'cause he was mean to, what's her name?
Sorvino.
Uma Thurman on the
Uma
set
Thurman.
of Kill Bill. And I was like, he yell, I mean, people who yell at their actors and make them do their job, or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to get into that, but I think he
Yeah,
was
that's
un
for another podcast.
yeah, that's a whole nother, that's probably even just privately discussing, because it does infuriate people with stuff these days. But anyway, to go back to this, to parodying case, I feel like when like Laurence Olivier and all of them, well, what's her name? Greta Garbo said she won't play mamas, and no murderesses. So that was her quote. So she does not, she and she retired pretty much around that time too. So she was pretty much done.
I want to be alone, right? That's not
Exactly.
what she wanted to end her career with, I guess.
Yeah,
Well,
this.
she never said that. She said, "I want to be left alone."
What was that from?
It was everybody used to like Judy, with the Cary Grant. Somebody's called kept quoting her. I want to be alone. She said, "I never wanted to be alone. I just wanted to be left alone." So she didn't want to be hounded by the press or
Right.
paparazzi. So she wanted companionship. She wasn't that strange, but anyway.
She didn't want people bothering her with stuff. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
basically.
can understand that.
Yeah, I can
Well,
understand that.
especially once you get to a point where, everybody, I mean, even if they've never seen a Greta Garbo movie, I don't know if I've even seen one. I know the name, like, her name is got some power to it even today.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's, she was a very powerful woman who had these, had this career. And that's the beauty, is like, a lot of the amazing actresses, eventually one day they just want to quit acting. They want to retire because they're
Yeah.
just done with the bullshit and stuff that
Yeah.
comes with it sometimes. And that
Right.
goes to the politics of things, like, they just don't want to deal with that crap. So Liz, you said you haven't seen, like, this is your first Hitchcock, which is awesome. And that is, this is not the movie that I should have introduced you to Hitchcock with. If I had assumed you'd already seen, like, at least a couple, or whatever. If I would have picked something else, but I'm happy you got to witness
Well,
something.
the door has been opened now to Hitchcock, so I will definitely be watching some more.
Understand, the bar is lowered from this movie. Like, it's gonna raise higher in others,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah, this
I
is.
always like to go and read people's reviews of it, and I was really surprising to me, number one, that it wasn't on any like larger streaming services. And then two, that it just wasn't a really well-known movie. I mean, it's Alfred Hitchcock. But then I read a lot of the reviews after I watched the movie, and I could totally see, and I think a lot of the politics of it had to do with it.
Yeah, I
Like,
think
it
it,
could have been a great, great film.
and I don't think it did. Like, let me see, because like, I know the what is it? What is it? In Wiki, they tell you the what is it? Like box office numbers and stuff, and I don't think it was received very well.
No.
Critical reception says Bosley Crowther, film critic for the New York Times, liked the film, the acting in Hitchcock's direction, and wrote, "With all the skill in presentation from which the gentlemen are famed, David O. Selznick and Hitchcock have put upon the screen a slick piece of static entertainment in their," oh God, this is a weird word, garrulous. Garrulous, I don't know. The Paradigm Case, Gregory Peck is impressively impassioned with the famous young London barrister who lets his art, whatever. Like, it just seemed like some people really liked it. Despite the mixed reviews the movie received, most critics noted the strong performance of Anne Todd and Joan Tetzel. People kept saying that, and I was like, Joan was okay. I mean, she did a good job, but she, I think Anne Todd
Oh, she
really,
was fantastic.
she was
Yeah.
wonderful, you
It
know.
was an all-star cast. I was amazed at that when they no, you know, they put down everybody that was in it. I mean, my God, even Louis Jourdan, it was his first movie, and he went on to do so many great
Gigi.
roles. Ethel Barrymore was cut down to 3 minutes, and she was
Yeah.
originally, there was an over a three-hour movie. They had to cut it down, so she lost a lot of footage.
See,
And
that's why somebody needs to take this, like Criterion or somebody needs to take this movie, put the original 3 hours out so people can
well,
see what the original, like, and you know, thing was.
unfortunately, it was destroyed. I
What?
forget how now, but yeah, I was reading about it, and some of it was accidental, some of it was deliberate. They think there might be a copy somewhere, but they don't know who has it. And but Charles Colburn, my God, he was great. And Charles Laughton, of course, is brilliant always. Leo G. Carroll, one of my favorite actors, because he had the Topper series back in the 50s.
We've talked
And
about
if you
him
ever want,
before, right? Like, we've done
yeah, he played.
shows.
Yeah, he was in a series about two ghosts, and the original movie had Cary Grant in it,
Nice.
one of the ghosts. But Topper, he was an older guy that lived for these ghosts, and
I'm
it was
wondering why
kind
they
of a,
haven't brought that back. Like, they haven't
it
done
was
a remake of
amusing.
that, you
Yeah, it's
know?
amusing but morbid at the same time. It's
Good.
kind of
Well, that's
interesting.
sort of
So,
what this time period likes, you know, amusing
yeah.
and morbid. So I'm surprised that's not been redone yet.
Yeah. So even John Williams was in this, played one of the barristers, and he was in one of that other movie we watched. He was a detective. So he Hitchcock, if he liked the actor, he'd use him again and again and again. Leo G. Carroll has the record. He did six movies with him, and
Yeah.
so
I know
I
Joseph
still like it.
Cotton was also asked to be in this and turned it down. And once again, he never turned down Hitchcock. He was usually in some Lifeboat and Shadow of a Doubt and a bunch of other stuff. And you know, so for him, so that really does show you, like, they saw the quality of the script or
Well,
whatever it was.
and it may not even have been the quality of the script necessarily. I mean, I'm sure the final product, what we see, is very different from what the original script looked like.
Yeah.
But I think even though people think of Hollywood as this huge expanse, it's very close-knit. Everybody knows everybody else. Everybody talks about everybody else. If you do something really stupid or dumb or crazy, like you're kind of going to be shunned. You know, people are going to hear about it. And I feel like a lot of these people that turned this film down probably heard a lot of this talk and knew there was a lot of disharmony, in the pre, even in the pre-production process. So I think
Yeah.
that probably contributed to people turning it down as well.
Maybe. And it is worse these days, you know, with the like with Facebook or
Everything gets
email and
put out there.
yeah, everything's out there. So if one person screws up, you know, somebody's gonna hear, you know, and stuff and be like, I don't think I'm gonna hire that person, you know, or I don't wanna work with them. And so yeah, it might be Ingrid Bergman did not want to play Miss Paradigm because of David O. Selznick. She didn't want to work with him again. And I not sure. I tried to find the answer to that, you know, if there was something like
Maybe he
what.
got her pregnant.
No, he
She
it,
had a baby out of wedlock, but
she
and was
did, and that was with
blacklisted.
the director, Rossellini or something,
Oh,
Roberto Rossellini.
Mussolini?
Yeah,
Oh,
there was a
not
big
Mussolini.
scandal with her because she was so beloved by everybody
Why
that
no?
she,
It's a scandalous behavior
yeah, and
for the
so, which
time.
is weird because nowadays it's sort of like if somebody has an affair, it might be talked about on TMZ, but it's not really like people don't treat it like it did back then because we treated actors back in the day like they were golden gods, like they were not able to make mistakes. Nowadays, we know better. We know like people are gonna fuck up, you know, and I think that makes it a little better in this world right now as opposed to back then because I there was a lot of like, did you notice that Ann Todd was loaned out to be in this movie, you know, by a company? So in the beginning of the movie, in the credits, it says Ann Todd or Miss Todd was loaned out by I forgot what organization, it was something.
Paramount, or
You got it?
I don't know. I know I don't,
Okay.
but
Well, there was
well, that was
a.
common practice. They'd loan each other stars.
Yeah. So they had a. It wasn't like Warner Brothers or something. It was some company, but they loaned her out. You know, so apparently, I guess she was under contract with some other company to do films, and then they asked her to come on for this movie. David O. Selznick was usually pretty good with that like stuff. I think he did that with like Gone with the Wind and things like that, where he would say, you know, I want this actor, but they're under contract. We'll just trade them somebody else, so this person will be in this movie. And what they did that for The Godfather, I think, for like Al Pacino was, you know, under contract for a movie, and then they just kind of switched, you know, kind of traded off. And that's how it worked back, you know, in the day. Nowadays, it's not really like that unless you're like a Marvel person or something. But even then, you just have to make sure that your dates are clear for this movie, you know, or whatever. Like if you're doing Miss Marvel 3, you know, you have to make sure that your Brie Larson is available to show up, you know, on that day. But,
Well, that's what I was thinking, and maybe it was a scheduling contract conflict that they some of the actors that he wanted weren't available to.
maybe, they could have been doing other stuff, you know. He worked with, you know, he worked with Laurence Olivier on Rebecca, and, I don't know if you've seen Rebecca, Larry, but it is freaking amazing.
I
And
don't think so.
yeah, so we're gonna do that eventually. It's we did it for Criterion Watch a while ago, and it's just beautifully haunting film. And Laurence Olivier is just phenomenal in that movie. You know, everybody's like, you know, so it's great. It's better. It's way better than this. Spellbound is better than this. Like, this is, I think, what, the fourth Hitchcock or Hitchcock Selznick movie, or maybe fifth, because they only worked for 7 years. I don't think they might have done seven movies. But yeah, that's insane, you know, to think about like. that there he was under contract. Oh, you can only be working for me for, 7 years and stuff. And
Well, I don't think they intended to end like that, but they had a disagreement, or I guess it was a slow build irritation. You know how
yeah.
people get enough of each other finally. It's like, we need a break. And they never got back together. It's kind of like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Enough's enough.
Yeah, enough's enough. I don't know. I would love to like make a movie someday about the past movie world, and what it was like, and shit. That would be fun. 'Cause there'd be no way I can actually time travel, but that's like the closest way to time travel, like, is to make a movie like that. So that's a one day I hope I could do that, but you have to do a lot of research, and whatnot. But I think it would, and obviously I would make it fictional, not to, well, I don't know. We'll see. But
I think I've seen a movie like that, where they talked about the horrors of inside the studio, what really went on. But
Oh,
I can't
really?
remember
Well,
the
if
name
you
of
ever see that, if you ever like know what that is, tell
it.
me.
Can't
Let me
remember
know.
the name. Maybe you could Google it.
I'm
What's
sure
the
I
name of
can.
the movie that talks about movies and how
Yeah.
they're made? So it might
It
be a good
talks about
answer.
the studio stuff. I'm enthralled by that those years. And the funny thing is, I'm not a big war person, so I don't like the movies about like World War II or whatever much, there's a couple of Hitchcock ones that I'm okay with, but like when I just like the time period of the 30s and 40s, like I mean, I'm obsessed with that. Liz, do you like that time period?
Yeah, I do. And as you're talking about what things were really like back then, I feel like there's probably quite a few autobiographies of people who were performers in that time that probably have a lot of inside stuff in their books, but I can't think of any offhand, but that might be a good resource too, because a lot of times these
Oh,
autobiographies
definitely.
talk about things that never actually got put out there.
Yeah, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, there's a lot of books on them, but Charlie Chaplin wrote a book.
Oh, wow.
They almost all of Brando. I read his book, Brando.
Oh, man, I bet he
Reveals all
had
his
some
work.
great stories.
He does, and he admitted to being a total asshole. He deliberately, tweaked the director's nose every chance he got. So he just enjoyed it, the tormenting people,
Well,
and
yeah, I
it's
mean, there's
just
some
that
people who are into that.
he was just kind of a child in some ways.
I was watching the behind the scenes with Sterling Hayden, like an
Oh
interview he
yeah.
did, and
Oh.
he, man, he was an old man when he was doing this interview, and he was just honest and real and
Yes.
talking about the shit, like he had to deal with and
Oh.
everything, and I was just like laughing my butt off, going, "Oh man, I
Yeah.
just would have loved."
It was my favorite. He wrote a book called Voyage. You should read it if you can read it. I've got one at home, but it's an amazing book all about
Yeah,
his life.
he did. It's a novel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
Well, I
he
mean,
went into
you know,
novel writing.
it's not a novel. It's about his life.
Oh, it's about his
It's a
life.
autobiographical.
Okay.
So, and it, and David Niven wrote a book too. All about what's his name? Errol Flynn, what a bastard he was. He threw him off his boat off the coast of Catalina once, and he had to swim in several miles in shark-infested waters. Can you imagine? It could have killed him. So these people were not nice people. They
No.
partied too much. They did all kinds of unspeakable things. And it's even w much worse than it is today. So this
Yeah.
is back in the 20s and 30s. And,
Well, also, like, weirdly enough, like now we have like rehabs and different things for people for drinking issues. But just imagine 20s and 30s, that was all they did
Oh,
was
yeah.
drink and do drugs
Oh,
and stuff. And
yeah. Yeah.
it
Cocaine
was,
is king.
Yeah, so they, people did stupid shit because they were like fucking on things. And so it was a terrible time, but to go back to this movie, we were talking about the Paradigm Case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a movie we're here to discuss. But this whole time I'm wondering, like, because they never fully answer the question of did she do it? Did she not do it?
Well,
Like she's.
there, that's the oh God, you were just saying there was no, what was it? Suspense. That's a suspense. Did she or didn't she? That was a
Well, I
running
would
through
have
the whole
liked
movie.
if there was like her like last like thing of saying something like I did it, and so it's fitting that I'm
She did
getting.
confess, though. After he she the lawyer caused a guy to commit suicide, she
Well,
just confessed to everything.
she kind of just said she kind of just told
Yeah.
him like she didn't want to deal with this, anymore. Like,
Right. She just didn't care because the love of her life was dead.
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
And
the only man she ever really loved.
I know, which I don't
I
understand. Like, I
don't know.
maybe I've never felt that way about somebody, like been so infatuated with somebody that no matter how much they told me they had no interest in me, I still felt like, you know what I mean? Because like she was cold to him like the whole time.
Yeah.
Like she was like, I only see you as my lawyer. Like I don't care about you. And he's like weirdly, like madly and like obsessed with her and
Well, he is
stuff.
upset. Yeah.
And even when he should have, but of course there would be no movie after this, but he should have, recused himself from the bench originally.
I'm just wondering if we're taking this the wrong way. She wasn't really cold towards him. She was cold towards everyone. From the first opening of the movie, she's playing the piano, and the detectives come in and arrest her. She is nonchalant. I mean, completely cold, unfluttered, nothing. Nothing bothers her. I'm like, what a cold fish.
I
So
think she seems like a character who's gone through a lot in her life. And then Mr. Paradine kind of plucks her from obscurity and takes care of her. And she's used to having to suppress a lot of emotions and things that she's gone through. So I didn't really, I did feel connected to her in the beginning when she's first accused, because you don't know what's going on. But I feel like she played it in a way you could tell she was just trying to process everything that was happening. So I didn't really take it as her being cold. I just felt like she was trying to be stoic and just do what she needed to do in that moment.
I think,
Okay.
but that's true. But I think that's exactly her character throughout the whole thing is like
Yeah.
she's there to just do whatever is needed for her to and she's like this guy's her lawyer. He's supposed to figure out a way to get her out of jail, right? And
Yeah,
stuff.
protector basically.
Protect her, but then he says, basically, well, we can just pin it on this guy, make it look like he could have possibly done it to make, because all they need is, reasonable doubt,
Yeah.
that she did it by one jury member, and then, all of a sudden she's innocent. But she doesn't want that. And I guess she probably sees that if they did that, because she even tells him in the beginning, do not go after this guy. If you go after this
Yeah.
guy, I will not like you at all. I will hate you. She even says the word hate, at one point. And he does the first, he goes right after him and just causes all these, issues. So
Yeah.
that makes her even more pissed off, which makes her confess at the end, I think. I don't think she did it. I think that guy did it. She knew about it. She didn't.
Oh, wow.
And But see, that's
Okay.
the thing. That's why I like movies like this, because it does
Yeah.
make you think, did she do it or did
Interesting.
she not do it? Did she confess? Because the guy's dead, or the love of her life, the guy she loved, even though she tried to act like she didn't, or whatever. We all know, they both had feelings.
So she sacrificed herself out of spite. It's like cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Yeah, I
That's
mean,
sort
she
of
could have
thing,
just said at the end when that guy did it that, well, I mean, at that point it didn't matter because he already killed himself. Once he's killed himself, there's no way to go after
right.
him or way to
It's
whatever.
a moot point. There's no way to discover it.
Yeah, so
But
I think she just knew she was over it. It was over for her.
I think
That's
Liz hit on something earlier about this woman was abused and abused by so many men. And of course, she used and abused people too. But that this blind man took care of her. But she insulated herself. That was her veneer. That's her
Yeah.
persona. So keep people out. And she built a wall. But she probably was very remorseful about the death of her husband, even,
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, and so maybe this horrible blind man took her in and he died at someone's hand. And so she thought, what the hell? I'll just admit to it. But yeah, you both have good points. So who
I mean,
knows?
but that's the thing. You watch this movie, you can take different things from it, which I think makes it a good movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to the movie that a lot of people probably, because I think, once again, especially back in that time period, people were kind of like looking for more, like screwball comedies were more prevalent and stuff. It
Yeah.
was more about trying to make people laugh and trying to make people, they didn't want depression. They didn't want
Yeah.
things that were sad. And this movie was more, a little bit more dramatic and more sad. And so when you think about it, you look at a movie like this where, like, the potential idea is she could be facing death, being hung, and nobody ever wants to see somebody who maybe didn't deserve it be hung. Even Ethel Barrymore at the end of the movie is like trying to sort of tell the judge to be nice to this girl, and he's like, I'm not going to turn my back on the law,
Yeah.
and
Oh,
the best part of that whole thing was him sitting down and just picking his teeth at the end, like life was just normal to him, and I'm like
yeah.
thinking, you asshole, there's like a girl who's about to be hung and everything, and you have the power to like fix it in some way, but you're not going to
Yeah.
because you just.
No, he's just a mean person. One of my favorite scenes in there is when they go to dinner with him, and he sits down next to Keane's wife, and he talks to her, and he's hitting on her. He hits on his wife and says, "You look very appetizing tonight." And she says, "You are such a gourmet." He says, "I don't amuse you very much, do I?" And she says, "I always admire your wit." And then he says, "You may call upon my wit whenever you like. Life can be boring for a case widow." And he grabs her hand. She pulls away and stands up. And then predatory behavior, totally. And then he says, "Hey, Keen, your wife is weary of me. Pity." I mean, he throws it in his face. "I'm hitting on your wife, and she doesn't like it." So he's. And he's such a hypocrite because he goes by the letter of the law in court, but he breaks the law outside of it. I'm thinking, bastard,
Well, and then one, my favorite line he gave to, that one guy, what was that? So that one guy's talking about, because they were kind of pointing out something that later became a big deal, which was the fact that Gregory Peck's character is emotional in court now. Like he's been getting emotionally involved in his clients and everything, which is usually okay, but not too emotionally invested and stuff. And he says something to him, and the guy says, oh, he's not that emotionally and involved or whatever with his cases. And the guy, he says, do not interrupt me when I'm doing an insult, making an insult. And I was just like, that is the best line I ever,
Right.
like,
I
I
think I
want to say
remember
that.
that part. Yeah, I think
Don't
I chuckled at that part.
yeah, because he's just
Yeah.
like, That was
I
when I
can't
think I
wait to use
messaged you at that time and said, "Oh, I think
that.
this is funny." And you were like, "The Paradigm Case?"
Oh, that's why I asked you. I was like, "What move? Which?" Because we're doing a podcast tomorrow. I thought you were talking about the ones that we're doing
Yeah,
tomorrow. I was
Stand
like,
By
"Baby
Me, which we're
Face,
doing tomorrow.
funny." I don't know
It does
about
no,
that
it does
one.
have some funny
It
moments
did
in it.
have some
Yeah.
humor. It's
In Stand
like
By
more
Me,
of a
but this
dry
movie,
humor. Yeah.
yeah, this movie had a lot of like, yeah, it had a little dry humor in it.
Well, yeah.
Stand By Me has some humor too, but not
Oh yeah.
I
Oh, I love
enjoyed
that.
this little, there was a bit where Keen, no, is it Keen? Somebody, I think he walks into her bedroom, Madalena or whatever his name is, Mrs. Paradine, and he sees a big picture of her on her bedboard. Do you remember that? And I'm
That
like,
was so
oh my
weird.
God, how vain can you be? It's a big picture of her right in the center of the bedboard.
Right,
Just
like
like,
it's like you wake up like looking at yourself.
yeah. And
Weird.
it's like, I thought this was a weird thing too. Like she's obviously a very beautiful woman, and I feel like in general people like to be praised for things that for good qualities they have. One of her qualities was beauty, and this was a quality that her husband would not have been able to appreciate. So that's why I kind of thought
Oh.
maybe that's why she's got that portrait, because nobody else is there in the home to
Yeah.
appreciate her beauty. So she just takes it upon herself to appreciate her own beauty. I don't know. That's just what
Wow.
I kind
That's
of
a
felt.
really good. Yeah, we like
Very,
that.
very
Yeah.
astute, Liz. Very astute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sort of maybe agree. I don't know. When I saw that, I was just like, I mean,
But
it's
it
a
was
great
weird.
shot. It was a great
Yeah.
shot, because you kind of he's like walking by and you kind of see it through the, like the bed frames or whatever and stuff, and so you're seeing sort of like this really cool like shot. But then like and then it like so there's some great ones, like there's some great shots, like
Right.
there was even in the courtroom at one point when they're walking and they kind of pan back around and you see like every oh just I'm just like
Well,
I want
especially
to do
for that
that.
time period, like some of the camera work is just it's mind-blowing, because it's stuff that was not being done at that time.
No, because
Yeah. The
I had a
DP.
oh, go ahead,
Who
Larry.
did he work with? Did he always work with the same DP?
No, he usually had different DPs on
So
every
it
movie.
might be a Hitchcock observation. Could you aim the camera that way and do that? Maybe he came up with these
Oh, he
ideas.
always did. He always it was always his direction. So he always he, it's kind of like we were doing my buddy John Ward and I were doing what is it the what's that movie the movie called Malignant, and that movie was directed by James Wan. James Wan's sort of like a new version of Hitchcock, he's an Australian Hitchcock, and so he's very good. Like he did like Insidious and in the Conjuring movies and stuff, and just really good
Those are
at
good.
camera work, like and everything. And he's just a wonderful camera, but he knows where he wants everything filmed. He usually has everything storyboarded. I want this. I mean, that's the thing. This is why I'm very particular about the guys I have as my DPs, because I want to be in charge of the shots. I understand there are some camera people who like to be in control of the camera, so they like to tell the director where they're going to put the stuff. And some
Very
directors are okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I need to be in control of the camera because I have ideas of where I want to shoot.
Yeah,
Now, if I,
it's your vision.
yeah, now if my vision's not working out that day, I we'll consult with the camera person. I'll be like, oh, can we do this? And he'll be like, oh, we can't do that because of this issue. And I'll be like, well, what would you suggest? Kind of thing to fix it up and keep it going. But generally speaking, you're what he would probably do is storyboard every single scene, and stuff. And I think that's amazing. Like I think he's just a fantastic director because he knows what he wants. When a director knows what they want, they're going to get that shot, somehow or another. And so he did that with all, I think that's what he did with all the DPs. Let me see who the DP is in this, because I didn't
It was
catch it.
Lee Garm.
Lee Garm, who did Scar, the original Scarface, not the Al Pacino one, but the 1930s one. Okay. The guy's done some stuff, but I don't think he's worked with, he did, oh, he's a David O. Selznick guy. He's worked in Duel in the Sun and a few of the other ones that David Selznick did. So he was probably, yeah, that's why he's never really worked with, did he do Rebecca, I wonder? Because if he worked with Selznick, I wonder if he did any of those, but no, it doesn't look like it. So I think Hitchcock liked to work with different DPs, you know, because I don't think the DPs really mattered to him. He was gonna get what he wanted through the camera guy, you know, however he did it. So, I mean, it must be amazing to work with somebody like that, you know, who just knows what they want, you know,
He's got a
exactly.
vision. Yeah, vision.
He had a vision. So you know, have you guys worked with somebody that you think, you know, was director that knew exactly where they wanted to put the camera and where?
Oh, yeah. I
Who?
just got off a shoot.
Yeah.
It's called Enclosure, and where the director was like that, very very anal, very exacting, you know, hair split hairs, and he argued with the DP, and they both were kind of like that. So they were arguing constantly. No, they would be better if we did this. No, I'm the director, damn it. You do what I tell you. And oh my God, he was screaming at me and everybody, and he said, I'm an actor's director. And so God, I hope he's not listening to this. But he's not. He wasn't, because he just didn't know how to treat us. So anyway, but yeah, there's a lot of politics on the set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Liz?
I've not really had any horrible experiences with awful directors,
Well, I'm
honestly.
not saying that, but like, have you had
Well,
a
like
director
with
who
people who
know
had a
exactly what they
specific.
want?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I worked on a movie a couple of years ago. It's on Tubi now. I worked with William Chafin, the director of that, and it was probably one of my first few films that I worked on where there was always a direction. Like, you know, everything was very pl well planned out, what kind of shots they wanted to get. And it was really nice to be a part of that film, because some of the films I've done, there's just no direction at all. Like, we're standing around just, you
Waiting,
know,
yeah.
what do you think we should do with this shot here? And it's just very unorganized, and it makes a huge difference, I think.
I
Like,
agree.
I think there has to be balance. I think, as a director, you have to go in with a certain vision, and you have to somewhat stick to that vision.
Well,
But at the same time, when you're working with other people who are also creative people, and you're making this film together, I think you have to be able to share ideas now and then, with things that could possibly make the film better.
I agree. And how I do it now, as opposed to how I used to do it, you know, I used to be like the guy that didn't know where everything was going to get shot until, like,
Oh,
even
yeah,
on the
people
day
don't.
of and everything, and trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
What I like to do now to make sure that doesn't happen is I will get with my camera guy probably a couple, like maybe a half hour before we start shooting. And we'll start going over, okay, this is going to be this scene, this is going to be this scene. I directed Larry actually in a short little, like, scene that was, you know, basically a like a Marvel type you know, post credit sequence, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And my DP and I did go beforehand or discussed it, and then we kind of just told, you know, told Larry and Jimmy Reese, who was played the mayor, so it was the governor and mayor just talking, you know, at a park and everything. And it went off pretty well, I think, you know. But
Yeah.
yeah, but also, you know, when you surround yourself with talented people, who, all are working together for a common thing. Like it's just pretty easy, to do that.
Well, and for me as an actor, I think when I feel more comfortable with who I'm working with, I feel like I can express, my acting or my emotions more easily if I feel comfortable with a person as opposed to somebody who's screaming at me. On the other hand, while I would not ever want to be screamed at, I do feel like if I was in a role that needed to feel extremely vulnerable and I was having a hard time getting to that point, I think having somebody yell at me could put me in that frame of mind where that comes across on the camera. So not that I want to be yelled at, but I think if it's something that will benefit the film, I'm all for it. I can take rejection. I can take being yelled at. I've experienced all those in my past. So, I want to make stuff that makes people feel,
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well,
That's the way I feel too.
yeah. Well, do you
That's
guys
why I
feel
got
like
into
this
it.
movie made you feel something at all?
Oh, yeah.
So, what did you take away from this movie, Liz?
So I think one of the biggest things I took from this film is Gregory Peck's character, who seems like just a regular guy, loves his wife, loves his job, has this great life, and yet here's this like forbidden fruit almost that just for whatever reason just grabs his attention. And he l allows his emotions towards this woman to control every aspect of his life. And it pretty much brings him to rock bottom. And thankfully, his woman is this angel,
She's Anne
because
Todd was the
she
sweetest. Oh.
definitely, you could feel the love that she felt towards him. There were a couple moments where like she didn't want to kiss him or whatever because he'd just come in from the rain. But they were together for like 14 years. So I
Yeah.
think that's how, a relationship or a marriage progresses, like I don't want to get wet right now, just, kiss me later kind of thing.
I love
But
that scene, by the way. That was so great because
he
she was
was
like,
just
you can win all these cases and do all this stuff, but you can't remember to fucking put on a coat, an umbrella.
but she just had this unconditional love for him, even at the end, after he'd kind of made a fool of himself in the whole community. He just had this overwhelming shame for how badly he let things get out of control. And yet she was by his side. She was his biggest cheerleader. She stood by him no matter what. And I absolutely loved that. It was beautiful.
For sure.
Well put.
What about you, Larry? What did you get out of this?
Well, I just thought that emotions can override reason and professional judgment. And it was a showcase for that. Oh, man, it could be swept away. He was at the top of his field. He was well respected. He was right on top, and she just brought him to his knees. He left the courtroom in disgrace. He actually had to excuse himself. I was like, who does that? But he was just emotional. He was smitten with her, and one level or another. And even if it was just intellectual curiosity, but I think there was more to it than that. But nobody's safe. We're all susceptible to things like that because we're people. Humans, the only things wrong with the human race, like Spock said, is emotions. Other than that, you'd be fine. But you
Well,
remember Star Trek?
I know,
You
but
have to
like
be.
I understand that, but like, and that's sort of maybe a little true, but like, I think emotions is what makes us human,
Yeah, I mean,
it's
it's
good
good
in
in a
it's about
sense.
not letting them control you, I think. That's the thing. Like he in this film, he had let his emotions control him. And that's a recipe for disaster no matter who you are.
Yeah. You
have to stay objective, but it's very difficult sometimes. And you can't ever predict when it's going to happen either. So it's, That's what makes it really interesting in life. You just never know when you're caught unawares.
Nope.
And there you go, down the slippery slope, down the rabbit hole. So
Well,
anyway, I like
yeah,
that
well,
movie.
I got that. I got the same thing that you guys both did. Is just this movie is just when I watched it, I got enthralled in the first of all, I love courtroom dramas.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows is like the Law and Order shows and stuff. So I'm always interested. I mean, they're so fake though. It like it now that I've actually watched like you watch like court TV, you used to watch court TV or
Yeah.
whatever like that, and you see real court and it's like, God, this is boring.
Yeah,
and then you watch like
true.
Law and Order. I'm like, people do that? Nobody
Yeah.
does any of the stuff that they do in Law and Order. But that's the whole point, because if they showed you real life, you'd be bored. So they show you the stuff that whatever. I'm always just enthralled by those. Like I love them. I think they're fun. But and then I watched this movie, and the courtroom stuff didn't come into like an hour into the movie, so
Yeah.
it was like a lot of it was just him doing some little preliminary investigation, and then finding out that the guy, one of my favorite scenes being the guy knocking on the window and everything. I was like, that is creepy,
Yeah.
And then he comes in and talks, and and he, because the first question I asked is, why is he coming in through the window, like, or whatever, like coming in through the back, like, why doesn't he, right? And he asked that question,
That's
and the
your
guy's just,
suspense.
well, right, but yeah, there's the scary Hitchcock part, I guess. I don't know. I was just like watching it, going, this is kind of funny. And then the guy's really kind of creepy the whole time. I'm like, is he gonna try to kill the lawyer, like, so there you go. There was the suspense. That was the suspenseful scene. It's like, okay, what's gonna happen? Because I don't know if these guys should be in the same room together. And
Yeah.
technically, I don't think they were supposed to. He wasn't supposed, because he was a witness, or whatever. He's being called as a
Right.
witness. He wasn't supposed to, you're not supposed to talk to the witness before the case or whatever. Like, so witness tampering, or something. It's like
Yeah.
against the law. But I don't know how it was back then, but like nowadays, if you got anywhere near a witness, they would just automatically declare mistrial, or something, because that's not allowed. So anyway, I got a lot. I enjoyed every single thing that you guys both said about it. Like, I love the idea of you can't be, if you take a case, you can't be too emotionally invested in it. Meaning, if you start to realize you like somebody, you say, I'm gonna have to give this to somebody else,
Yeah.
whether or not they win the case.
Oh, yeah, recuse yourself.
You
Yeah.
recuse yourself, which he did at the end. At the end of the at
Hey.
the end, he said, I'm gonna have to, because of all
Hand it
this,
over.
and to
Hand it
hand this
over
over to
to my
somebody else.
subordinate. Yeah.
And then that guy couldn't, it was done. It was done after that. They knew she was gonna be hung because she just confessed. So there was nothing they could do. And she didn't want to talk to that guy at the end because he was the reason that guy died, So I don't know, it's just so powerful in a way, and was surprising considering A, nobody talks about this movie, and B, like it didn't do well originally, and maybe
Yeah.
that's a part of why nobody talks about it, but like this wasn't a regarded as a great Hitchcock movie, and I didn't if Gregory Peck said that Alfred Hitchcock was bored, looked bored. I didn't see boredom in this movie. Like nothing showed me something that I was like, oh my God, this is, why is Hitchcock doing this? Like this all
Well,
felt like they did a great job,
this was made right after World War II ended, and people were in mood for comedies and lighthearted things. This is a little too dark and grim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are just like, I don't want to see a drama,
Yeah.
courtroom drama. Larry, you still have probably a couple notes. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, there's a couple of things in here, but I think right near the very end, well, they kept contradicting each other. She complained to her husband that he was sexually, the valet was sexually abusing her and harassing her. And so that got him fired. And then he would say that she was sexually abusing him. And that she was a horrible person. And he hated her, remember? It's like, well, who's telling the truth here? Or maybe there's bits of truth in both testimony, but they went back and forth and it was a little confusing. But other than that, oh, I wanted to say, did you either one of you notice Hitchcock's cameo in
Oh yeah,
this?
you always bring that up, so
I
I
know.
didn't notice it.
And I have to admit that I didn't catch it, but somebody talked about it, and one of the critiques, you know, without the fan critiques. And so I guess 36 minutes in, he's the guy smoking a cigarette carrying a cello at a train station.
Oh,
So I totally
okay.
missed that. I
I
don't
totally
know
missed
how.
that too. I didn't even
I
remember
missed
that.
it.
So,
And I don't
yeah.
want to go back and revisit it right now.
I don't, it is a hard movie to sort of. I mean, I don't think I could watch this over and over again or something. Like, I
No,
could watch
once is
it
enough.
every now and then, maybe to maybe show somebody that hasn't seen it, you know, but I, this isn't something I'm gonna pop on, you know.
They said that he did like over 30 cameos, but he started out, you know, like in the middle of the movie, and then he stopped because people were always trying to find him, so they'd miss the point of the movie. So he finally started doing it near the beginning to get it over with. And this was 36 minutes. It was way too long because people were constantly trying to find him, and
Maybe that's
they would
another
get
reason why I didn't
distracted.
do well. People are too focused on trying to find
Yeah,
Hitchcock. Where's
he just
Hitchcock? You know?
loved to put himself in there. He never did it for the English versions, only the American versions, I think. That's what they said too. So it's kind of interesting.
Yep.
So, because maybe Americans like doing that kind of thing.
We
And it's
do.
like
I
you
mean,
get.
we like seeing the director or somebody, you know, if they're doing something, you know, that we know they're going to be doing in every movie that they do. You know what I mean? We're going to be
Yeah,
looking
well,
out for that.
I think he enjoyed
Stan
it.
Lee was
Yeah.
known for doing the
Well,
cameos.
Stephen King did that too. Yeah.
yeah, there's a few that I feel
Yeah.
like, and I find it interesting, but yeah, it's that's all I have, I think.
Well, I think that about wraps it up then. I'm glad you guys got to see this, especially considering I did not know, Liz, this was your first Hitchcock. So, welcome to the world of Hitchcock. Once again, I don't think, you know, I mean, this isn't his worst movie by any stretch of the
No.
imagination he's
Well,
done.
I didn't think it was awful by any means.
No.
I just did feel like there was a little bit of disconnect. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just feel it when you're watching a movie, like it's just missing something and you just can't put your finger on it. That's what I felt about this film. And then I saw about how there was so much disconnect between the producer and Alfred Hitchcock. So that kind of made sense. But I still thought it was a fantastic movie.
I would love to see like a biopic on David Selznick, like what he does, you know. Maybe that's the movie I would want to write, you know, about his life. Because I guarantee you there's some interesting stuff because he's made like Academy Award-winning movies, you know, or whatever, like he's produced. And there had to be something he specifically was, you know, in his life was, you know, interesting with
Right.
that, you know.
Well, didn't he do Gone with the Wind?
He did Gone with the Wind.
Well, okay.
Wizard of Oz, if I'm
Well,
correct. I could be
look
wrong.
him up. You can Google him, and all about the making of Gone with the Wind. I think there was a special on TV about how strange he really was, and you know, his demands and his peccadilloes and just strange habits. And they talk a lot about him, and like, wow. Okay, it's a wonder it ever got finished, you know. But it is a classic, and I guess he was very demanding in his other films as well. And
No.
he didn't get along well with his directors.
He direct or he produced He produced Gone with the Wind. I remember that. He direct produced the M Most Dangerous Game, which is very famous. He produced God, there's way too much. Topaz. That's I don't know if that's Topaz or he produced King Kong, you know.
Oh,
That's one of the biggest freaking that was probably the one that
yeah,
helped.
that's an iconic movie.
Yeah, A Tale of Two Cities, the original Star is Born. Let's see, Gone with the Wind, Rebecca. So I don't think he did Wizard of Oz. Maybe he didn't. Duel in the Sun, The Third Man. I mean, he's he didn't do Wizard of Oz. I thought he did, but I'm wrong. But yeah, he just amazing. Producer and went out and made, you know, movie after movie, you know, like that just got huge things. I'd love to hear more about him. Like maybe if A&E did like a biography thing, I bet I could look that up on YouTube and find that stuff out because I'm always interested in that, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, thank you guys once again. Larry, I know you, we got next month we're gonna be back with a new episode, and it'll be The Man Who Knew Too Much, and it'll be the original The Man Who Knew Too Much, because
Oh wow.
he made his own movie. I think that's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, so he made it originally and had like Peter Lorre in it and some other people, and then he
Oh my
remade it
God,
with
dear
Jimmy
Lord.
Stewart. And so it's going to be interesting. One year we'll watch the original, and then the next year we'll watch the remake and see how different it is or whatever. You know,
Very
but
good.
yeah, the original is supposed to be pretty damn good too. So I have it on Criterion, but I don't think I've ever watched it. I've watched the remake with Jimmy Stewart, and that's freaking awesome. But it'd be good to see what they did differently, because I don't think it's like shot for shot, because that would be silly. But I think it's definitely he was like, oh, we got more money now to make it the way I wanted, you know, he wanted to originally make it, maybe. So we'll see. Liz, we'll definitely have you back on the show. I mean, we already got you for all these other ones too, anyway. So you're not leaving Indie Film Cafe anytime soon. you've got so much going on with us, so we really appreciate that.
We've got you
I know.
now.
Well, we just released the Indie Film Cafe episode that you were on for the Mega Python one, and I think in a couple, or maybe it was next. In a couple of weeks, I think the one that you hosted, you know, is on there. So it's like it's gonna have a lot of Liz stuff this month, and
Y'all are
that's
gonna be
awesome.
so sick of me.
Oh no, not at all. But hopefully the same people that listen to Indie Film Cafe are also checking out Hooked on Hitchcock and stuff. But who knows, you know, maybe people will be looking up the Paradigm Case because there's not probably not a lot of talk on this movie, you know, it's going to be my guess. And so it's always nice to find ones that not a lot of people are talking about, because then you kind of stick out like a sore thumb, you know, or you're not going to be looked at all, because nobody
Either
even knows
way.
this exists, you know. But we'll see, you know. But I want to say thank you guys so much. And Liz, since you're our
You.
guest, what have you been up to lately?
So, well, I quit my nursing job of 14 years about a month ago. It was just something I needed to do for my mental health, and I know it was a scary decision. It was crazy. I'm sure people still think I'm crazy, but I feel better now than I have felt in such a long time. And it's allowed me to put more brain power into my creativity and what I can, do with my acting or with other things that I'm interested in. So I do have a film that is gonna get started soon called Transference, with Jimmy Andrews. He wrote the script. He's not directing it though. He's passing the direction over to Candace Weir. What his goal was, he wanted this to be a primarily female driven film. So he's trying to put females in these different positions here. But the
Nice.
script, when I read it, I fell in love with it. It just made me feel all kinds of things. I felt like it was relatable. And for me, when I'm watching a film, if I can't relate to any of the characters, I just don't give a shit what's going on.
Right. Well,
Like,
thank
you
God in
have
this movie,
to
I think you
feel
could relate to at
connected.
least Ann Todd's
Oh,
character.
absolutely. She was fantastic. So,
Yeah, and the guy and Gregory sort of, relate to like everybody's had that thing where they've been infatuated with somebody, to the point where it screws up their, thing. So
oh,
I,
he was spiraling for sure.
yeah, but yeah, so that's amazing. And I'm loving that you're continuing to work with the, everybody around here, that you're able to get work with. Any other projects or is
That's kind of it for right now. I don't know if I just don't have the right look that people are wanting,
Well,
or
Alfred
if
Hitchcock's
the
not around
film,
anymore with
or if
his
like
love of
the film,
blondes.
or if the film industry is just kind of a little bit slow right now. I don't know, but
It's probably
it
slow, honestly, a little
is.
bit still.
We're on the verge of a writer's strike, so everybody's hunkered down.
There's that, and when it comes to like indie film, we're still in the. We're PC right now. We're in post-COVID, so there's a lot of it's really difficult for filmmakers to put out a movie because there's still that fear that because COVID's not going to go away, not anytime soon. So there's just going to be new
Everybody's
strains
still adapting.
and so people are still doing tests and stuff, which I think honestly at some point that's going to go away because they're because it's like the flu. Nobody says, I'm giving you a test for the flu. It's just it's gonna eventually go away. But until then, people are still afraid, like because if one person gets COVID, they shut down the productions and stuff, and everything. So it's a scary time right now because you don't know anybody can get it at any time, or have it. So.
I have my own thoughts on all that, Jonathan, but I won't grace your podcast with them today.
It's probably well. You're a nurse. You probably know more about all of that stuff than I would. Anyway, and Larry, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing four films in less than 2 weeks. It
Oof.
just happened that way because of rain delays. And one of the main actors I worked with was injured and had to replace him. So I got bumped for 12 days. And oh my God, it's just one thing after another. I have to learn, what day is it? Oh, what role am I doing? Oh, my lines. I've been going crazy. My whole family's crazy trying to keep up with me. And now I'm on the way to Las Vegas and I stopped over to do this show. And now I have to start back over. And I'm going to work with Eric Roberts in a couple days on this Desert Fiends. And it's there's a lot of stars attached. There's Michael Paré, Tom Arnold, the guy that played Leatherface, he's in
Which
it.
one?
I can't think of his name right now,
It's not
but
RA, is it?
maybe I don't know. But it's a very bizarre movie. I don't even want to reveal the plot because it's just way beyond it's beyond horror.
Okay, good.
It's anyway, so I'm getting a little tired of doing horror, actually. I want to, like we talked about before, I want to branch out and to do other things, go back to comedy roots or do action adventure. Or well, I just did a film with James Balsamo where I'm the lead. It's called Jack Pepper, a Banshee Hunter. So it's kind
Nice.
of a
I saw
comedy
the
horror,
poster for
which
that
is
and
better.
loved it. So
Yeah,
I'm
it's pretty cute.
I'm excited.
So,
I'm
and then I'm
excited
gonna
for you, man.
maybe, well, thank you. Pan Man 2 is in the works. I'm gonna go back east and do that, and maybe work with a guy named Jonathan Moody, do one of his movies. Can't
Maybe.
wait
I've
for that one.
wanted to work with him so badly, Larry.
You're gonna, I can connect you. I have connections.
I don't know who you
So,
guys are talking about, so that's
yeah.
but yeah, no, I love it. I can't wait to work with both of y'all, and Larry, you again, like Liz, Larry came in and we did improv, which he was very excited basically to do improv because, that's fun, and it was
Improv
not
is
meant to be like
great.
serious and it was just
Yeah.
goofy. And it was for TikTok. So it was just we're just doing these videos for TikTok to just kind of, whatever. And he did the best improv I've ever heard where there's a character named Rudy Ledbetter, which is there's a real guy named Rudy Ledbetter.
Yeah.
And he usually gets his name out there a little bit like with stuff. And so they come in and they the cops Paul and our buddy Joe Turk both walk in and they're saying their lines and they're like, oh, it's Ledbetter. He's doing all this stuff. And Larry goes, Ledbetter, that crazy bedwetter. And I was
Yeah.
like, oh man, that was
Watch
funny.
this. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so
That's
it was the funniest
hilarious.
thing. And then, and he just everybody laughed. Like there were people behind, like, because the door was shut and everything, and people were like listening and they were cracking up. Like, because he was so, loud and boisterous, happy, like whatever to do this. So I loved it. And so I'll
Well, it was a
always,
great scene.
yeah, it
You
was
gave me
fun.
enough rope to hang myself. So I just went on and on about how I was going to try to protect myself from distraction. I'm going to arm my secretary out there so she can, kill the person who tries to bother me. And
Yeah.
they just went on and on about just, off the cuff. I
Yeah.
love doing improv. I got to do improv
Yeah.
like that with Eric Roberts and come up with an idea for, a scene. And so I like doing improv. It's really,
Yeah. Sometimes this can be a little bit stressful, but if it's for comedy, it's for silliness, it's not taking yourself seriously at all. And
exactly.
that to me is the most fun because when it has to be serious and you have to come up with these things that have these points or whatever, it gets like too stressful to me. And so when it's just, go, Larry, just be you and, have fun with this. I think that was like my only direction was just, you know what you're doing. Like, I don't even need to direct you. Just sit there and watch you prefer. I just had to tell you sort of like a plot line of where to go and everything and stuff, and you guys handled that so well.
Yeah.
I
Thank
was
you.
the only thing I was disappointed was I wasn't in the scene. Other than that, I was like, damn it, why didn't I write myself in the scene,
Well,
or
let's
whatever.
do another one.
We
Let's do another one.
will have
It was
to.
good.
We'll have to have you come back out, and then maybe we'll get Liz out, and we'll have you both in a scene together.
There you go.
But
Fantastic.
I want to say thank you once again to Liz for coming out because this is your first time on this show. So you're welcome back anytime you want to come.
Oh, thank you.
And
Thanks for
just you're a
having me.
breath of
Fun.
fresh air, Liz. Thanks
Yes.
for your perspective. You're
Yeah.
really
I'm enjoying
fantastic.
having guests on the show too because it's fun for me and Larry to talk, but it's also really fun to get, especially female perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did bring stuff that we wouldn't have looked at or whatever, especially with this being a female, centric movie, thing where a lot of it was about, how the females react and everything.
And
So,
I have been a female ruled by emotion in the past. So I feel like I can connect with certain things that are going on, even if what a character is saying, what they're actually feeling or thinking can be completely different. And I feel like I'm pretty good at picking up on those signals sometimes.
Well, there you go. So that helps with reviews. So thank you. We really appreciate that. And everybody else, join us next month where we do The Man Who Knew Too Much. I'm not sure who the guest will be yet, but we're really excited. We'll have a fun show again, like we've been having. So it's been a good start to the year already.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you all, and hope everybody has a good week. Until then,
Oh, you too.
bye.